making things right. Never could stomach lying. And I lived in a house full of them. Oh, Lord. I'm not talking about you. We had kids, some that would lie to us rather than tell the truth, when the truth sounded better. See, that's the devil. That's the devil. All right. We live in a world that is just lie, lie, lie. It's coming out of every sector. And don't believe all this. I'm just all this about all these thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of migrants that are going to push through the border. I said, this is the biggest load and crock of crap I have ever heard. They can send you a picture of a crowd that was 10 years ago, and everybody gets on board and they're scared to death. I'm thinking, you know what? If that were true, the Lord would say, barricade your house, get your guns ready. And we're talking the Texas border. Remember, this is the scare event. And don't be scared. God speaks to us and prepares us for what's ahead. Has He told any of you to really buy any extra anything? Anything? Well, yeah, I know, but still. I mean, overbuying and overspending, that's a different story. I'm talking about, has God said one thing to do? Yeah. He said, take no thought saying, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? So what does the devil do? Oh, but there's 100,000 people rushing the border. Oh my God, we better go, you know, buy a gun store. Don't think for a minute that Space Force doesn't see and know. They do. They are monitoring everything, and they know exactly what's going on, and they're willing and able to step in at any time that they need to. We're not in any harm. So remember that. Okay. This is Sunday 10/24/21. This teaching is called Bless Your Enemies. I'm railing on them, but it's kind of on the opposite side of this. Anyway, bless your enemies.
Is this
learning the phone system? Nope, it's not. Matthew 5 is the first set of scriptures I want to look at. You have to understand what fake news is. It's fake. Okay. They're pushing a narrative. It is the truth that whatever you believe, you know, I've heard Gene and about his timelines, and I don't know what I think about all of that, but it's probably some of it's a bunch of crapola, but on the other side of it, if you're walking by faith and you're believing God and someone else isn't, you're going to be on two different timelines. Just plain and simple. So it's you have the say what timeline you're on, or you could, maybe timeline's not a good word. Whatever road you pick, that's the adventure you'll go on. I'll just say it that way. The narrow road or the broad path. All right, Matthew 5:43. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them who despiseful. I don't like that word witch. I don't know what. It's a wonder they didn't say W-I-T-C-H. It's messing with stuff. From them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father who is in heaven. For he maketh his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. All right, with that, turn to Luke 6. I could say these that I was talking about, bless them, Lord, because they need it. All right, Matthew 6. I'll just be glad when the church gets it back into its right mindset and proper doctrines laid down where the church can be the church. Help those come out of the places that they need to come out of. All right, Luke 6, 27. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them for whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. See, God is looking at everything, and he knows everything, and he's merciful. And he just goes on and lets man do what he wants to do until one day he'll change that. Speaking about all the caravans and things that are coming in, don't think for a minute that these people are not being exploited. They're not just coming in here to try to take our things away. They're coming in here thinking they're going to have a better life, but they're paying the coyotes to even come over. And they're monitored, and they're watching them. And if they don't do what they're told, they'll say, well, we're going to kill your mom or your dad back home, or we're going to take your kids from you, and they're going to rape your kids and all that kind of stuff. They're going to be sold into human trafficking. This is what's going on. So we need to keep in perspective God's plan in this. This is about setting the captive free. This is about having mercy and compassion on these people that are victims, that are, you're thinking, well, people can get to the point that they just hate the immigrants, that they're our enemy. No, never forget who the enemy is, Satan. Satan and his agenda. That's what this teaching is about. Never forget who the enemy is. It's not people, no matter what they do. If we're going to truly walk in the supernatural like Jesus walked, we will have to keep the devil out of the equation. Feasting on God's word, our daily bread, and not succumbing to Satan's bread. The highest walk is the walk of faith, and that faith walk is by love. That's Galatians 5:6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. When Jesus was under duress, the worst place in his life, what did he do and what did he say? When his dearest and closest to him rebuked him, what did he do? When his family members thought he was a nut job, how did he respond? Jesus had a lot of opposition, but his going to the cross was the ultimate payback to Satan. He went to the cross by faith. Said he had a good confession before Pontius Pilate. Jesus had a lot of opposition. Jesus did not retaliate against people, but he looked to the one behind the curtain. He took care of him for us all. Colossians 2:15 said he disarmed the principalities and powers that were against us and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in the Christ, in the cross. For us to get the results that Jesus did, we're going to have to do what Jesus did, not go to the cross, but not retaliate against people. You know, when people cut you off in traffic or they do something, that's not the time to point out their wrong and what they did. But turn that retaliation against Satan, who's the real culprit anyway. Satan uses people and circumstances to hinder us, and it's easy to look at the people involved as the culprits, but we know who the real culprit is. See, he's trying to trap us, ensnare us. I guess this is why Jesus went through his temptation in the wilderness, so that he would always target the real enemy. Let's look at that. Luke chapter 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And all those days he did eat nothing. And then when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. So Jesus had to be thoroughly tempted, where he knew Satan and he knew Satan's tactics, because he was going to have a lot of opposition. So here are some answers to the questions that I brought up earlier. At the cross, Jesus did not revile back at the ones that were crucifying him, but he said this. This is Luke chapter 23. I mean, you can praise a whole lot, but love's better than that. The love walk is the ultimate. Satan can't do anything. He can't counter against love. Luke 23:32. And there was also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with him derided him, saying, He save others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. So Jesus did not revile back. He said, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Who was the man behind the curtain? The one behind the curtain, Satan. Satan incited the people against Jesus. Flip Wilson's coin phrase was, the devil made me do it. Well, you could say this is, in this situation, that was indeed the case. The devil made the people, stirred them up to do this evil. Okay, well, let's just go to the first of 23 here. The whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, Thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. They were the more fierce, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him, and Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof you accuse him. Nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas. Sounds like our day, doesn't it? Let the criminal out and put the innocent in. Who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them, the third time, Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. He released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will, and they led him away. You know what, when people, we see people that do things, get your food wrong, cut you off in traffic, remember, Jesus also died for their fault. Their fault. Us taking that and talking about it, and look what they did. Blah, 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 blah. Well, you know what? Are we blocking our blessings because we are getting on that bandwagon? It's real easy to look at the leaders today and criticize all the leaders. But who's the real culprit? Who is the real one that's inciting? That's what God, as an apostolic ministry, has us doing. We are taking out principalities, powers. We're taking them out. The ones that are pulling the strings. They're the puppet masters. And we're griping about the puppets. And our target should be the puppet master. Because there ain't any of us perfect. Even his own disciples did not agree with him at times. Jesus. Okay, Mark 8. What I said to you earlier about what I spoke about, those were God's words. That was not Carla Love's words. Just remember that. I'm speaking God, what He's saying, what He's feeling. What He's saying to me that displeases Him. So take that in context. Well, one minute you're talking about what these leaders are doing. Now you're saying, well, we're supposed to forgive them and go on. Yes, that's true. But you're also supposed to speak what the Lord gives you to speak when He says speak it. So just remember that. I'm not contradicting. All right, Mark 8:31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. So really, he didn't rebuke Peter, did he? Now, Peter yielded to the devil. He rebuked the devil. Maybe people do not mean to go against the will of God. They oppose the things of God and give their opinion, and it is from Satan to deter. I remember Brother Kenneth E. Hagin used to say that you have to be dead to censor or praise. Jesus certainly was. In other words, whether men praise you or condemn you, you need to be dead to it. That doesn't sway you. It didn't sway Jesus. All right, John chapter 6. We all know the phrase, talk a lot, sin a lot. That's just the truth. The more we can get our tongue under control, the better off we are. Death and life are indeed in the power of the tongue, not the fork. Well, I guess if you overeat, but anyway. All right, John 6, 1. When we get free of all these encumbrances, we're not going to know what to do with ourselves. We'll be so free. We're going to have to learn to walk in that freedom. We've been under bondage so long. John 6, 1. And after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went in up into a mountain, and there he met with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as many as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. So in that instance, he was popular, and they were going to come and take him and try to make him a king and go absolutely against God's will. So he got out of there. Jesus did not come at this time to be crowned the king. He came to give his life as a ransom for all of us. Jesus had family situations that he had to deal with also. This is Matthew chapter 12. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. In other words, stop what you're doing. This is more important. And he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. So Jesus was intent. He was going to do Father's will. It didn't care if he hair-lipped the governor. Do you realize that these were all temptations to get him out of God's will? That's the way Satan operates. That's what he tries on us. Many years ago, the Lord said this to me. He told me to stay out of people's frays. I've tried hard to do it. I've tried hard. Sometimes it's real hard. You sure will have a lot more peace in your life if you will. That means you may have to be like Jesus and hide from long tongues coming your way. Avoid phone calls that you know will go down a gossip road. Proverbs 26:17. He who passes by and meddles with strife not belonging to him is like one who takes a dog by the ears. Just like Jesus was led to certain people, we also must not meddle unless Father says to. Now John chapter 4 talks about the woman at the well. God instructed him to go to Samaria, which he told them to stay out of Samaria because that was not part of their jurisdiction. But God overrode that and said one day, Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. And he talked personally to a woman that was in adultery and spoke to her about the kingdom of God. We usually have enough to deal with just with our own lives, but at times the Master will lead us to help someone out. We are to follow Jesus' example, and when we do it, we will have the success that he had. And we're going to look at a few scriptures here. You can either turn, or I'll just turn to them and read them. There's quite a few here. Sometimes my tabs hide from me. Okay, this is 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. You could say this, you are none of your business. You're dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. So now you belong to him. And if he has to talk to you about something, he will. So don't judge yourself in that respect. You understand what I'm saying? Don't condemn yourself. Don't talk bad about yourself. Don't always looking back thinking you missed it. Father will let you know if you missed it. The Holy Spirit will let you know. And when he corrects you, it's not with the lash. We need to be comfortable in our own skin and who we are in Christ. The Father's not like our earthly Father was. And we each had an earthly Father that didn't do some right things. They did some right things, but hard, maybe. Unjust, maybe. Not faulting anyone, just saying. We've all been done wrong. All right, 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Pretty powerful scriptures there. Okay, John 13:35. I'm telling you, love never fails. It didn't say faith never fails. It says love never fails. And I'm talking about God's love. John 13:35. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Not by criticizing one another. Like I did. Which, like I told you, in the proper context, Jesus did too. I mean, he did. There's times as a leader, God will give you words to speak. You have to speak what he tells you to speak. I'm just talking about our everyday lives. All right, Matthew 16:24. That just shows you what we've got ahead and what kind of changes are going to have to be made. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Well, he's talking about the transfiguration there, but the point is, if we try to save our life, defend ourselves, however it might be, we might actually lose it. I know that's something that the Lord's had to show me, and I can't say that I'm perfected at it. It's the need that I have to defend myself. If someone critiques me, doesn't like how I dress, doesn't like what I say, calls me a liar on television, whatever, it doesn't make any difference. If I'm all right with God, then I'm all right. And what you say doesn't amount to a hill of beans, right? And see, that's the way we need to be, not to be cocky, but to just not, like Brother Hagin said, dead to censor or praise. I'm not doing this for you anyway. I'm doing this for the Lord. And if you don't like it, well, won't you see him about it? Yeah. James 4, 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. See, when we act like Jesus, we draw nigh to God. Neither was any guile found in his mouth. Any guile. So, oh, Lord. I remember there used to be this series the teenagers watched, and it was so funny. He said, oh, Lord, I need an inner cleansing, and he got the comet out. You know, that's not the inner cleansing that he's talking about. Talking about keeping that mouth productive, speaking, using that mouth to speak life where darkness is, instead of cursing their fellow man, criticizing what they didn't do or they did do. All right, 2 Timothy. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. I put here feminism. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And from that a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So Timothy exhorting us, Colossians 1:24, or Paul, not Timothy, Paul, Colossians 1, 'Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church.'" See, these guys, they endured. They suffered for the body of Christ. All right. Matthew 6:24. We read 33. "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." How do we do that? A lot of it's through our tongue. Who we give allegiance to, who we act like. Okay, Psalms 34. Verse 12. "What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good?" This was, I just read this in Peter. "Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking gall. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are open, are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the mere remembrance of them from the earth." See, the Lord's listening for our cry. We don't want anything hindering that, right? Nothing. All right. Acts chapter 5. "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." See, they got thrown in jail because the man was healed at the gate, I guess. That was that instance. But anyway, they got thrown in jail because they were following the Spirit and doing what the Lord wanted them to do. They didn't revile back at them. They just kept on doing what God told them to do. Sometimes it's not easy, but it's possible. Okay, Mark 8:35. I may have read this a while ago. I think I did, but anyway. Yeah. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." See, when you submit yourselves therefore to God, you know, it does resist the devil. Definitely. Matthew 10. I'm in Mark. Okay, Matthew 10. I need the deal like Trey Smith. He's got a deal that when he talks the scripture, it disappears on the computer screen behind him. I'm thinking, I don't know what program that is, but that's pretty cool. All right, Matthew 10:8. "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." I think I've got one more scripture. Verse 37. "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." That tells me there's going to be some hardness. Okay, Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes I was healed. Peace. I mean peace. To just walk in peace. Okay, Ephesians 5. Verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And he goes on to talk about coming out of all these unclean things. Verse 8 says, Fear sometimes darkness, but now ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So, we're to walk after the Lord and obey just like he did, the Father. All right, if you want revenge, you need to turn it on the true enemy. And how do we do that? We're going to look at a few scriptures here on how we do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know, we need to just get in the habit of whatever anybody says or does, just ignore it. Act like they didn't say it. I remember years ago when we were dealing with such hard things with Brian. I remember the Lord saying, ignore unacceptable behavior. Easily said, not so easily done. Especially when there's a smart mouth in the mix. You want to just slap that smart mouth. You know what the real key is, and that's with the devil. They do it. Teenagers do that to get a reaction out of you. So if you ignore it, oh, it causes them agony. Good rule to remember. Probably anybody else too. You just let their comments just flow off your back like water on a duck. So I'm not even going to dignify that with an answer. See, that's staying out of the fray. 1 Corinthians 13:1, Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. See, you have all the faith in the world, but if the love is out of the mix, And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, it is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. I think it's the Epiphany that says, love never takes an account of a suffered wrong. I like that. I think that says it all. It doesn't take an account of a suffered wrong. That's that ignoring unacceptable behavior. Or you could say, I know you're better than that. I'm not even going to dignify it with an answer. Matthew 16:17. There's always going to be old nasty people. But you can choose whether to engage or not. All right, Matthew. Usually a person that is that way, they're unloved. They feel unloved. They don't know their father's love, and they don't, it kind of like Brother Hagin, he had so many good things because he lived someone that had to go to the hospital once in their whole life, and they lived to nearly be 87 or whatever it was. I mean, I think there's something about them we could learn from. And I don't even remember what I was going to say, but the point is, we can always choose to go in the love way. Always. It's always possible to do so. All right, Matthew 16, 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the kings of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We're talking about the ways that we use to take revenge on the enemy. When he tries to get us into a situation or a fray, we turn it right back on him and bind him. We prevail against him, the Word of God. What I was going to say about a person that is just nasty, it's like they're protecting themselves. Yeah, they're protecting themselves. It's always easier to throw it back on somebody else than to have to face some truth about yourself, isn't it? Yeah. All right, Matthew 18:18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. You know something? I don't know that, you know, I would ever do it, but when someone does something ugly, just look past them and say, get thee hence, Satan. You're an offense to me. You savor not the things of God, but the things of men. That's what Jesus did concerning Peter. Because a lot of times that's what is truly happening. That's what they're just letting the devil use their mouth. All right, Revelation 12:11. A person that's secure in Father's love does not have that need to have to retaliate. Our Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. All right, one more. John 16. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Someone that someone who analyzes you and makes comments about you.
Critiques.
They're insecure. Because someone that's secure in themselves can look at the good in someone and say, you look so nice today, or your hair looks really great, or you smell so nice. Right? To sum this all up, discipline yourself to vent all angry frustration on the devil. Through this or these above scriptures that I gave you, strive to always remain at peace with people. Remember, most of them are lost as a goose in a snowstorm, and that's probably why Jesus said, they don't know what they do. Because they don't. That's a way of life for them. And when they see somebody that's kind to them and nice to them, they don't know how to take it. But we're supposed to be like bright stars shining. And when you see somebody that does that, that's why Donald Trump is a bright star. He's like a beacon of hope. I mean, when they start listing all the things he's done for people that nobody ever knew, and some of them have turned on him. But it didn't matter. It shows what kind of person he is and God's pick and what kind of people they are. Okay.